enamorarse es peligro moderno. No es como antes, ya son otros tiempos. Te invento mil nombres, caras y voces. Yo no nací para enamorarme, qué desmadre. Yo no nací para enamorarme, qué desmadre.
What's up, everyone? And welcome to In the Database with Nana, episode 9. NBA playoffs have started, and boy, do we have a lot to get into. Teams have played the first two games of the series, and the overreactions and the panics have started. We personally have not really kept up with the East that well and watched the games because mostly they've been a snooze fest. The East is very top heavy. And when you got a top heavy like conference, the first round of playoffs really don't matter. The playoffs really start in the second round. You got the Milwaukee Bucks versus the Heat. They were able to get one game on the Bucks, but that was more on the lack of effort on the Bucks. And Giannis got hurt. We're hoping that he's able to be healthy for the next series and he can play better or he can play healthy. But, you know, game two, we just saw the way they handled business. It was like a 30-point game at halftime. The game was over at halftime, much like the rest of the playoff series. They put the Philly series very early, and thank God, because we're not trying to watch Brooklyn in the playoffs. The only reason why they're even in the playoffs is because KD got them there. KD and Kyrie were able to get them a good record prior to them departing, and now we have to sit through Spencer Dinwiddie, which in itself is just a form of torture. So glad they put them at the 1 o'clock Eastern slot, and everybody could wake up like football Sunday by the time they're done. And then we have the Cavs Knicks series, which can be promising. But then it's the Knicks. So years of disappointment does follow. So they were able to steal a game. That's all you can ask for a team. But not too worried about what was happening in that series. That might be the best series in the East. And last but not least, the Celtics and the Hawks series. Hawks really have no shame. I kind of wish they weren't in the playoffs. And we see this year in, year after. I mean, come on, Trae Young. I mean, you get a lot of defenders. You got a lot of people a lot of people defending you because you guys are the play-in kings. And during the play-in, we get the overreaction. The Hawks are going to be a little scary. The Hawks are this. And when you're not facing the New York Knicks Madison Square Garden crowd that can rally you up, Trae Young, but you got to step up as a star. John Collins did make a statement. I got a personal beef with you, and it really has nothing to do with you, Trae Young, as your teammate, that – he said there's a lot of things, you know, you do better than Steph, and you and Steph are kind of equal. I don't know where he was getting at. I mean, he was insinuating, oh, there's stuff that Steph does better, but there's stuff that Trae does better. But he was kind of hinting out of the like, oh, you guys are one in the same. You're not. Believe me, you're not. And John Collins, you know, that's his teammate. So he's supposed to say what he's supposed to say about his teammate. But you're not looking really good right now. And you're a traffic cone on defense. As good as you are offensively, defensively, you're that bad. And the days you have bad offense, you might as well not be playing because your team has a better chance without you on the court. And that's the East for y'all. The East is just been a snooze fest. Most of the West has been kind of a snooze fest as well. So I'm not really gonna say that they have been that much better. But Western Conference playoff hits different. I would call this the real playoffs because you got two series in there that are really fun and they have been like super like entertaining so far. And we're going to get to those in a second. But the other two series, like you got Denver versus Minnesota. I just want to fast forward. Minnesota already, you know, like the Timberwolves are the Timberwolves and they're a laughing stock and they've been a laughing stock for a while. And Karl-Anthony Towns has to probably be moved, or Rudy. And when you give up five picks for a guy who also has $200 million contract, you actually kind of have to expect him to be a superstar, but he's not. And he's a fringe all-star, AKA a fake all-star to me, but you got him there for defense. You're missing players. I get it. You got Jaden McDaniels out. You got Naz Reid out, by the way, which I would say Jaden McDaniels was probably the reason this team even hung on without Karl-Anthony Towns while he was gone. And that's a huge piece. And he's gone because he wanted to be a dummy, but that's another story for another day. And then you got Naz Reid, who I believe is probably going to be on a different team this year and getting paid, who's so crucial off the bench. And you don't have that. And when you don't have that, like, Denver is the number one seed. You're not beating Denver. And the series has just been like, it has just been like, it just feels like a JV team is trying to compete with an NBA team. And it's just unfair to watch. You know, Denver can coast like 90% of the game and still probably win. And we saw that today. We saw that today after game two. Minnesota made a run, down 21. But not once did I feel like Denver was faded. But like, we're not fazed by this. So that's that series. And then you got the Lakers-Memphis series, which I really had high hopes for. And the only reason there's no real hope for that one is injuries. You got Ja Morant down. I know people always say the Grizzlies are better without Ja. Not true. They just move the ball better without Ja. And as soon as some film gets, people start looking at some film and the Lakers adjust without Ja being there, this series should be over. But I'm glad that the Memphis were able to get a game and not be down 0-2 going to Crypto Arena, aka Staples Center. But allows Golden State to have some needed rest because they're going to be in a long series now. And moving on to Golden State, game one and game two, what went wrong? Oh, what didn't go wrong? Like, what could have been better? So much. With game one, I mean, that's a game you have to win. You have to win that game. And I think the game was lost. Even though it was a three-point game, one-possession game, the game was really lost in the third quarter. Those last 3 minutes of the third quarter, the game was lost, all because Steve Kerr wanted to give Steph Curry two to three minutes to rest. And what's funny is to start the fourth quarter, he didn't even start him. So that ended the game, gave the building life. Momentum swung. You're up nine. Why are you messing around? You know, once you silence that crowd, it's a hungry crowd. They haven't been there in 16 years. And they have energy. You know, they've been saving their voice for so long and you're testing them. So I don't know what Steve Kerr is thinking. Like, this is not a regular season. We don't care about minutes and restrictions. This play in 40 minutes. KD off of an Achilles and another knee injury was playing 40 minutes game. The first game it was back. And you're talking about, let me just preserve him. He seems gassed. And he seems gassed. Yes, he's right. Because the offense you're playing is very annoying. You have him running around on offense all day long, off balls, running in a million screens while he's getting yanked, pulled in 10 different directions. And then you got him doing the same thing on defense. I'm tired just watching him. Obviously, he's tired. Give the ball in his hands and stop messing around. Could have closed that quarter strong. We could have been up 15 or more entering the fourth quarter, which would have given him enough of a breathing room for him to come back somewhere around the 8 minute mark, 8-7 minute mark, and close out this game. And that really was the difference in game one. And that's even after we were obliterated on the glass. Like, we were obliterated on the glass. And then on top of that, we have a turnover fetish that we just can't break in that game. So everything went wrong in that game and we could have still won. And Steve just continues to prove that he's a bad situational coach. Like, this has been like nonstop coaching mistake. And Mike Brown is running circles around you so far in this series. And he was your protege. He was under you last year. That's embarrassing. Are you not embarrassed? If I had a student and he goes in and just in 1 year, he becomes a master, I'm feeling some type of way. You need to develop to get to that. You're a Hall of Fame coach. You're a champion coach. Come on, Steve. You're the defending champ. And here you have Mike Brown looking like the next coming. You got Sacramento looking like they're unstoppable because you keep making these critical mistakes and lineups. And there's so much adjustments to make just from game one to game two. And a lot did happen in game two. We did adjust. We rebounded better. But the turnovers in that first quarter, if Sacramento shoots that bad in their home court in a quarter and you're a veteran team, as a veteran team, as a championship, a dynasty, You somehow miraculously have them at 16 points a quarter, but you're only up six. Shame on you. Like, there's no shame there. Like, you cannot allow that to happen. I knew the game was going to, we were in for a long, long, long game after that. Because if you can shoot that bad, keep a team to 16 points in the entire quarter, and you only being up 6 points, that's not something you should you should be proud of. You should have walked out of that quarter with your head down. And that's that. Like, you got to play better. You got to take care of the ball. And a bunch of that not taking care of the ball is this misconnection between Draymond and Steph. They're not, they used to have the best chemistry in probably league history. You know, he just knew where Steph was going to be with his eyes closed. But now that Draymond is just a zero factor. Like, you have Looney and Dray on the court. You're playing 2-on-5. When you're playing 2-on-5, everybody, like the other two guys who are supposed to be paying attention to Draymond and Looney are not paying. Now you got three people spying on Steph. So every time he comes around, you're waiting for him. You're playing traffic cop again, and he's either chucking up a bad shot or he's getting the ball off of a screen and he's trying to pass it or do too much with the ball, and it's a turnover. And so this connection and all this stuff is just, like, nobody's taking it. And the few times that Draymond, you do go, and you're 6'8", brother. Why can't you make layups? Like, I'm so confused. Like, 6'8". Your floaters look like they missed the rim. Like, you hit the backboard, and it's just not something you're an NBA player. Like, I'm at loss for words. How you don't take this personally? I feel like you're just being disrespect. This is disrespect. They come into your floor, in your space, and they're disrespecting you, Draymond. They're taunting. They're like, I ain't worried about you. I'm not guarding you. Like, you know, the Caitlin Clark's little wave up. That's you every game. And you're okay with it because you're Draymond Green. And you just got to play better offensively. You got to make them want to guard you just a little bit. And that opens up the whole spacing. You can have the greatest shooter of all time on your team, on the floor, but there's only so much he can do. So game one and game two, now you're down 0-2. You're heading to a must-win in game three. And we're in a different hole in game three that before we even start. Like, we'll get down to that in a bit. But back to Steve Kerr for a little bit. I want to focus on Steve a little bit. Mike Brown has the answers to the test. One, because he was part of the team last year. He knows the system. He knows it from the inside out. He has that advantage in this series. Another advantage he has is we're a team that's a dynasty. And with dynasties, when you've been together for so long, there's too much film on you. There's too much, like, I can watch you and see you from with data from a long periods of time. Where Sacramento is a very fresh team. They've never been in the playoffs. This is a new team. So you don't got much on them. You got the season on them. With Mike Brown, he's got all the answers to your test, Steve Kerr. You know what that means? It means change the test. It's time for you to adjust. It's time for you to mix it up. Do something that he doesn't know you're doing. So this whole all lives matter offense where everybody got to touch the ball, everybody's getting these awkward shots, and we're passing the ball too much, and we're doing all this and all that, this motion offense, it got to go. It has to go. Sacramento is one of the worst. If they are the worst team, actually, in the NBA playoffs right now in PNR defense. And you're out here bailing them out. Why? And it's not taking you – it always takes you till the game is, like, coming to the end of the fourth quarter, when, like, end of this series, for you to run these picks. And I don't know the stats, but I did see a tweet that Golden State is scoring at a very high rate on these PNR. Like, it's not like we're not killing. Steph is killing this PNR. But you're just not running enough. So I don't know why you're very slow to adjust. And another one of those adjustment issues is the development of Kuminga and Moody. Because it puts you in a really tough position right now. Because of this so-called tough love you were doing all year long and not playing them, not letting them get their legs under them, not letting them make these mistakes and, you know, getting used to, like, playing with this lineup. Now you're in a position where, can I trust these two? Well, I don't know. I can't answer that question for you because you didn't give us enough in the regular season. You didn't let us see them or develop in the regular season. From year one to year two, they should be a jump with lottery picks. There should be a significant jump, and there isn't. There isn't. Defensively, yeah. Offensively, he shoots a little bit better from the three-point line, but you were too obsessed with playing your little project, Anthony Lamb, for us to really see Kuminga's game or develop. Any other team is on, I think we would have seen the brothers skyrocket. And you see that potential there. He is a raw talent. And if you don't utilize him as often you can, like you can have all this talent in the world. If you don't give him gameplay, in-game opportunities to adjust, in-game opportunities to be a better person, a better version of himself, you're not going to get what you want to get in the playoffs. Now you're just playing the luck game. Oh, I hope he's just in his head and he's in the right space. I mean, he's a 19-year-old kid. I mean, what was majority of the world doing at the age of 19? Not playing professional basketball, I'll tell you that much. So to expect that much from him is just a lot. And now you're putting him in a position with the Draymond suspension, which we'll get into, for you to have to use him, whether you have a choice or not. And it's up in the air, and it shouldn't have been up. I should be comfortable as a fan of this team. I should be comfortable to say, if Kuminga's going in for Draymond, I feel like he can hold his own. We shouldn't be like, oh, I don't know if Steve Kerr trusts him. That should not be part of the discussion anymore. Year one, yes, as a rookie. He's a champion. You want a champion with this kid. I should not have this issue with this little confidence issue. Like, you should be confident in this player right now, this time in the playoffs, but you're not. And that's a problem. And that's a reflection on you as a coach. Same thing with Looney. Looney's great in a lot of games. And I believe we got Looney at such a pay cut because he does so much for this team. And one thing you're not going to question about Looney is his heart and how much he competes out there and how much he tries. And he's been good. But matchups and lineups matter. Okay? They have realized a way to exploit Looney early every game, put him in the drop coverage, and he can't guard. He can't guard Fox. Majority of the NBA can't guard Fox. So I don't know why you would put that on Looney. And now it's coming down to, do you start GP2 or do you start Kuminga? Something has to change. But game three, obviously, we won't be able to do any of that simply because Draymond won't be there. And that's another thing you should always prepare for, Draymond not being there, because Draymond has given you enough data throughout the years that there's a possibility that he will horse around and something will happen when he's not there. And in that possibility, do you have a replacement? Do you have something that you could put in? And you should. That's what Jonathan Kuminga is supposed to be for. I mean, he's everything you would want into becoming the next Draymond. Not saying he'll be as great as Draymond, but he's got the tools. He got the tools to be a talented and much better prospect. And now you're in a series where you're possibly not going to see Draymond. You're not going to see Draymond in game three. And let's dive into that Draymond Green conversation and what happened that game. I am somebody who is super critical of Draymond. You guys can see it from my tweets. You guys can see it from everything I've seen. You can see from the back and forth that me and him have had on the timeline. At times, you could call me a hater when it comes to Draymond. But today I'm going to defend him to a degree, and I'm also going to be critical of what he did. In that moment, Sabonis has literally realized that his role in this series is going to be baiting Draymond all series long. And I think it's a game plan that Mike Brown probably put in everybody's head. Go ahead. Test him, yell at him, get him his text, because you know he's at the borderline. He's got two more texts before the suspension. Do what you got to do to piss off Draymond. Because we know, they know, Dre knows, and the whole world knows, he's got the self-control of a two-year-old. He's not, you bait him, it's like sticking a lollipop in front of a kid. He's going to take it. He's going to take it. No matter what kind of diet that kid you're on, like, it's like you can't help yourself. Like, you see the burgers, that's Draymond. He's gonna bite it, even if he's on a keto diet. That is who Draymond is, and he's made it so easy to target him. And this is a factor in him. I'm like, I don't think he's got that mental toughness to just walk away and be like, no, not today. Let me understand the situation. So let's talk about that situation. Sabonis is a hoe. Okay, he's a hoe for what he did. But Draymond is a dummy for what he did. You don't grab a player's leg when he's running the opposite direction in a basketball game, especially in the fourth quarter when the game's on the line. That should have been a take foul and Golden State's ball. Think about how big of a play that is. Instead, it became two free throws for Sabonis and their ball. That can't happen. And he just got a technical, which really is useless. Because if the league, if the refs were to give you a technical foul for a play you did, they're admitting it's dirty. It's a non-basketball play. And when you physically instigate something and then act like the victim, you know what it is? It's giving Karen. That's what it is. You're Karen. Like, you're really, your white privilege came out. So, and then the media go, oh my God, he's covering his face. Well, if he's covering his face, why is his hand wrapped around his ankle? You could have hurt Draymond. Anybody else like that has ankle issues, or players who are a little more fragile than Draymond, or anybody else that could, if there was a wet spot right there and you grab somebody's ankle, that like somebody's sweat was on the floor. Like, because when you're on the floor and you're sweating, you're making the floor a little slippery. So when Draymond's sitting there, where was he supposed to put his foot? I'm not doubting that Draymond had nowhere to put his foot. Like, if you are a grown person and this was you in a pickup game and the same thing happened to you, where is your foot going? Like, where was Draymond supposed to land his foot when you grab one of them? He grabbed the one on the outside, not the one on the inside. So there's, if you look at Draymond's feet, he grabbed his left foot, which means his right is on the closer to Sabonis' body. So where, and it's not like Draymond was standing still either. Draymond was moving. He was moving forward. So therefore, an instant reaction by Draymond is, yeah, when you grab me, either I fall to the ground, which really could have got me hurt. I fall on top of you, which could still turn into a flagrant two. Or I just land my leg where you went under my leg. And he chose the third option. But where I have a problem with is I don't like that he stomped too hard. That's why I called him a dummy. Like, yes, you probably stepped on, but you didn't have to step on him. Like, Sabonis wouldn't have been stepped on if he didn't grab Draymond's leg, but Draymond didn't have to stomp on him like that, like he was a trampoline. And that's where the discourse comes in. Like, Dre, I call you a dummy because he just baited you into that. You should know that the league don't like you. You should know that you are unfairly punished. You should know that with you, you're getting suspended. You should know that they're not going to look at this the same way they look at if Clay would have done that. If somebody, the incident itself wouldn't have probably got you suspended, but because you're Draymond Green, you should have known that would probably get you suspended and the stuff you do, and you will get away with it. And the funny thing about Draymond is you do get the benefit and you could also get the doubt. You're the only person that gets both, okay? Because you're the only person that could cuss the referee, yell at them, be in their face an entire game and not get a technical, get kicked out of the game. Because if anybody else does that, they're getting tossed. They allow you to do this stuff because they're like, that's Draymond. At the same time, you cross that line, the league looks at you, say, that's Draymond. It has to be coming from a very much dirtier place. Therefore, we're suspending you by reputation. That's what it is. Because anytime you think about this in the court of law and you're sentencing a criminal, if the criminal has no prior offense, they're not getting 30 years. They're probably going to get something lenient from the judge because the judge is like, oh, this is their first offense. Let them learn a lesson. I think they're understandable. But if you're a repeated offender and you walk into that courtroom, I'm throwing the book at you because clearly you're not learning your lesson because you don't. It's the previous 3 years in jail didn't open your eyes. Maybe 30 years in jail will open your eyes. That's what the league is looking at when it comes to you. And you know that. So what you did, and you should also be aware of the situation. By that I mean the game is on the line. It's the fourth quarter. It's a close game. It's a one possession. It would have been a one possession game. And you're at the road. You're on the road. You need this game. You need to steal one of these games. Okay? Because it's an insurance policy in case you don't win one of your games. Or it's an insurance policy in case you do win two of your games as a team who struggle on the road all season long. So all those factors have to come in. Like, bro, this is not the time or place for this. Act like a professional. It's not the time for you to act up. Like, this is the time for you to lock in, for you to be able to have some type of self-control that you're in control of your emotion, in control of your reaction, in control of your body, in control of who you are, and not let freaking Sabonis bait you into this. And don't get me wrong, Sabonis is not a victim. And I'm sick of this victim thing going around all over Sacramento media, all over the Twitter media. He's not a victim. He's an instigator. An instigator who should be punished as well. And you know what? Mike Brown coming up there in the press conference talking about, you know, the way he said it was the way, like, it reminded me of 2016, the way LeBron James and them did them that little post game conference, because they wanted the league to feel so bad for them. They wanted to be such victims that, you know what? Yeah, you know, me, LeBron James, I know I stepped over Draymond, but he hit me in the balls, and he, as a family man, he questioned my integrity. You know, that looks so bad, and I'm the poster boy of the NBA. So you gotta suspend him. I know it's the finals, and it completely shifted the entire series for good. And that was the NBA Finals team, a team that won 73-9. This is a team who's 10-30 on the road, and you do this, Draymond. Do you understand? Like, how many more championships are you gonna cost this team? Because your emotions can't be in control. Same with Boston. You know, you know, like, Dre, you're not a quiet player off the court. If you were like a Klay Thompson off the court and you don't say nothing, I get it. If you were like, you know, any of these players that just, you know, come in, hoop, you know, you're a quiet Leonard, you're here to hoop and you're going home. That's your job. I get it. But Dre, you come up, you have podcasts, you talk your shit, you call players useless. You do this. You call them, like, insecurities are speaking loud. You call them irrelevant. They're not important enough to speak to you. They're not important enough to be on your podcast. They're not important enough to breathe the same oxygen as you. You're different. You're talking all this shit. You're calling out different fan bases. You're calling them all this stuff. Say, I want you, Sacramento. I want you to do. And then you come into the arena expecting them to be nice to you. No, you're their number one enemy, brother. Brother, they don't even care about Steph right now. Right now, they will cheer on Steph while they're here for your demise. They want to see Dre fall. So you put yourself in a position. So if you can dish it, you better be able to take it. That's where my discourse with you is. Because you have this thought in your head. You've created this image in your head. Yeah, I could do whatever I want and say whatever I want. And I need everybody else to act like a model citizen. Because the minute they challenge me, it's a problem. No. If you gonna do this, you better be ready to get active, because they're getting active on the other side too. They're gonna get you, and that's what Sacramento. That's what the fans are gonna taunt you first. They're gonna, because you have painted this picture, same as Dylan Brooks, same as Patrick Beverly. There's guys like, you're not the only one, Draymond, that does this. It's a bunch of you that do this. Patrick Beverly ain't the star of the team. Dylan Brooks ain't the star of the team, but we sure as hell talk about them like they're the star of the team. Because they have changed the discourse of basketball. They want to taunt, because that's how they are effective. If they're not taunting, they're not quiet, they're not as effective. And you are effective. Your emotions are effective, and reasons why Golden State wins championship. You doing all this stuff helps Golden State win championship. You rallying up the crowd helps all this stuff. This is part of your identity, but you got to learn to control it. You got to learn whatever that is, your power. Because they say there's a saying that sometimes your power could be the reason why you're 6 feet under. And what that really means is that sometimes the thing you're the greatest at might be your biggest weakness. You know, and it might be ending up in the thing that hurts you the most. Dre, yeah, your biggest strength in basketball is your energy. You wear your emotions on your sleeve. And that has been the biggest part of your game. And that has helped you a lot. It has also been the worst part of your game. And it has destroyed you a lot, because you have not learned how to control it. Because power is nothing if you don't know how to use it. It's nothing. And you have that. And now I'm going to defend you a little bit here. I think the ejection itself was a little too much. A good little technical foul could have done it. That's it. Maybe a flagrant one. Cool. We walk away from that. However, they ejected you. I already thought that was huge, because that cost us game two. But to come back, and Sabonis and the SAC media, they think they slick. Oh, he's getting x-rays. Oh, he's getting x-rays. The guy who was just dunking at the end of the game is getting x-rays now. Oh, yeah, he's not feeling well. He's not questionable. He probably won't play game three, and he's, like, questionable. He's hurt. Oh, he's not. Oh, but the suspension came out. Oh, he's fine. Sabonis is practicing now. He'll play likely in game three. Be for real right now. Be for real right now. Cause y'all just fell for the oldest trick in the book. Fake it till you make it. That's what Sacramento did. They literally faked it till the suspension was official, and suddenly I can walk. Suddenly Sabonis can run around. Sabonis gonna be super effective. Draymond not there. Cool. And the league just ate that up. They just ate it up. They're like, oh, you know what? Poor Sabonis. Poor Karen Sabonis. He look at this victim. Like the brother didn't start the thing. He didn't grab these ankles. And he's been getting with a lot of things all game long because Draymond, you're not the only one he even fouled in that play. He tried to yank Klay down before he grabbed your ankle. But the difference between you and Klay is Klay's not a dummy. Klay saw the opportunity and said, you know what? He's on the ground. It's going to be a 4-on-5. We have the ball and we're running. So you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to run. I'm not going to entertain him. But you know what you did, Draymond? You entertained him. And here we are. Here we are for game three. Here we are. The series could completely be shifted and looked back at this very moment because you couldn't control your reactions. The problem is really not the problem. Your reaction is the problem. And the league's reaction is a problem because it's excessive. They shouldn't have suspended. It's not a suspension-worthy incident. If you just look at the incident as an isolated incident, it is. And I think NBA should look at this as an isolated incident. This is not time to bring up history because – honestly, if you bring up history, you're talking, well, besides the Memphis series, I don't know if this counts, but the history they're really looking at is 2016. That was 7 years ago. Let it go. Let it go. That statue's over. Like, stop looking at that history. Like, it's not like Draymond is walking around assaulting people as, like, a fact. He's not doing that. He's just, yes, sure, he gets technical. Sure, he runs his mouth. That's fine. You know, a lot of players do that. He's not going around stomping on people's chest. So I don't know what history you're doing. If because the other things are different. Same with when I talk about crime. So if I used to rob stores and then now, I don't know, I assaulted somebody, why would you look at my history of robbing stores? That's just me robbing stores. And that was like 7 years ago. Look at me differently. Man. Look at this situation as it is. Was this worth a suspension? No, it wasn't. It was not worth it. And not only is that the question is, was this worth a suspension in the playoffs? Because the regular season, I get it. I don't even think it was a worthy enough offense for a regular season suspension, let alone a playoff suspension. Because this, you're saying this is so egregious. That's what the league is saying. It's so egregious that it's deserving to be suspended in a playoff game. It's not. With that said, Dre, you have to be mindful that there's a different target on your back compared to what Sabonis is able to do. Sabonis is able to get away with this because he's got the complexion for protection. You don't in any part of life. And you know that. And as somebody who's gone through a lot of things that privileged people can only see and you've overcome, for you to like not understand this concept is kind of hard. So you don't have that complexion for protection. Maybe if you were Luka, maybe if you were, I don't know, any of these other white NBA players, you might be able to get that little benefit of doubt, but you're not going to get that. You're not going to get that innocent factor, especially if somebody who, you know, they said black and loud, because you're black and loud. That's even more threatening to them. And for you, I know it's unfair, but it's not something that's new to society. It's been part of society. And you need to understand that when you do these little antics of yours. And as Warriors, like the rest of the team, your reactions also matter. I see Jordan Poole was kind of like, I don't know, almost celebrating what Dre was doing on the court. That no. Don't celebrate stupidity. Don't do that. Because when you walked around and started jumping on the crowd and yelling and taunting them, calling them pussies, to me, that part was the part that I hated the most. Because it's one thing if we were home. If we were in Chase Center, you do that, I'm clapping for you. Because you need our crowd to stay motivated. You need our crowd to stay loud. I didn't need Sacramento's crowd to stay loud. I didn't need them to get a little oomph to their yelling. You gave them that. You didn't need to do that. This is a hungry crowd. This is a team that has not been in the playoff for 16 years. You don't need to give them extra fuel. They already got enough. They have too much. We got to diet down. So for you to jump up down and say pussies on your way out, look at you now. Look who's laughing now. Because they're laughing. Because guess what? You calling them pussies, but they're going to be at the next game and you're not. And part of the reason for that is because of that. And Mike Brown and the Kings, they got to stick up for their team, but you gotta pay attention to the things that Mike Brown was saying, the things the Kings were saying. Like I said, it was very similar to what LeBron and them did to get you suspended. They indicated, oh, this is unacceptable kind of language. Like, it was more like, "Yo, I cannot believe you do something like that." And to the league, they looked at that and said, "You're right. You're right. We see your perspective in your locker room. We're going to respect and honor that." And now I hope the Golden State Warriors, we were giving all these props to Mike Brown. "Oh, we love you. I'm so proud of you." All year long, if the Golden State media, Golden State fans, Golden State players, we've been cheerleading Mike Brown. I hope now you guys have finally reasons to dislike him. Just for this series. You don't have to dislike him after this year. But just for now, enough of the kiss ass. Enough of that. Because now you realize when it's all said, he's batting for his guys. He's not worried about you. He's not worried about that relationship y'all built last year or the year before. He's not worried about that no more. So don't worry about him. Don't worry about his success right now. Because his success is affecting us now. We were cool when it wasn't like affecting us. We were cool with Mike Brown as beating other teams and it was all fun and games. I'm not anymore. He is the op now, aka the opposition. We not giggling, googling for him no more. No more he cooking. And you see the Kings mocking us, playing E-40 music after they kicked him out of game one during practice. No, not asking you what's up. Like they're like, "What's up? Do something. Do something." So do something game three. Come out game three inspired. Come out like you want to be there. Stop the silly turnover. Stop hurting yourself. Rebound the ball. Hustle. Take it personally. Take it personally. Because right now, they got everything going their way. They got everything on their side. They got the media on their side. They got the refs on their side. They got the league on their side. They got Adam Silver, the commissioner, on their side. And then they got players, healthy players, on their side. They got starters all playing on their side. We can't say that. We can't. And we're down now. So you have to be mindful of that. Stop giving teams these extra little things you need to give. You give them. And you as Draymond Green, like, this is not new. This is not new. It hasn't been new. This has been part of your character. It's been part of who you are. And the conversation will change in the series because of what you did now. It already started at the beginning of the season when you decked your own teammate. And now we've come in full circles. Because if Sacramento wins the series, which I don't think they will, but if they do win this series, the conversation won't be about Sacramento. I'll tell you that much. They're still not going to get this, like, quote-unquote respect of, like, oh, as the real competitors. Because whoever comes out between the Lakers and Memphis will be the favorites in the next series. And the conversation will not even be basketball-related. It'll be, will Draymond be here? Is this the last time he puts on a jersey? You know what? Crazy thing is, it's already been beginning the whole season. Let's talk about the punch. Let's talk about him stomping on a player. Let's bring up all the worst moments of his career and put it on TV and discuss it for months, all offseason. You are going to be the number one topic all year long, the whole year, because you brought it. You brought it on yourself. And then now you won max. You won a max contract. The rest of the NBA is looking at the situation and they're saying, this is Golden State. This is the culture. This is a dynasty. And they didn't want to offer him a max. Think about it. The team that built an entire dynasty with him. The dynasty wouldn't be here without him. They wouldn't be champions without him. If this is what the common knowledge of NBA is thinking. And then they see that Golden State is okay letting you walk. You think anybody else offering you a max? Especially with these new CBA rules? Because if they offer you a max, and that likely means they have another max player on that team, which means they can't go over. They can't go over no more. So who can really win with you outside of Golden State? Who could be on the floor with you without the spacing of Steph Curry and Klay Thompson there? I mean, where would you work, Draymond? Where else outside of Golden State would you work? Nowhere. I'll tell you that much. Nowhere. And then for them to pay you a max, it'll be dumber than Timberwolves getting 5 picks and $200 million contract of Rudy Gobert. I'll tell you that much. Another team that offers you a max, there's not a single team out of every NBA team you work in outside of Golden State. And if Golden State no longer wants to deal with you in this antic, which I believe is coming to that, that's something you can't even complain about, because everything of it you caused. Nobody else did. You did. And your future being questioned in media, you did. And another thing about the front office, too, one of the biggest issues I've had with the front office, think about this for a second. they have coddled you way too much. Way too much. Because you make these mistakes, you do all the thing, all these antics, all this stuff, and then they come out, you know, Steve comes out, Bob comes out, they all say, you know what? That's part of Draymond. That's part of, you get the good with the bad. Why? Why do I gotta get the good with the bad? I just want the good. I don't want the bad. Why do I have to say, oh, okay, I'm okay. You know, we're in a domestic violent relationship with Draymond Green. You know, you buy me flowers and you take me out on Friday nights, but you ignore me. And here and there you're drunk, and I gotta accept that because the other three nights you're good. No, I don't know. Learn from this toxic, abusive relationship. Be better. Why do you want to be in it? Like it's very annoying to me. And if there is no consequence for your action, what makes us stop? What makes us stop doing that action? If there was no penalty for speeding in your car, how many people would be dead right now? How many innocent people who are just on the road driving because an idiot want to go 180 miles because it's not illegal, because he want to test out his Hellcat? Think about it. And that's what you are, Dre. Obviously, you're going to continue to do whatever you want to do, because the people that are above you, the people that are supposed to be your bosses, your coaches, they coddle you. They let you do the stuff. They actually, to a degree, they encourage you. Like, oh, you know, it's what makes Draymond Draymond. They're your enablers. And if they don't stop enabling you, which I don't think they will, and they're not, and you're, by the time your tenure is done in Golden State, you're going to keep doing this dumb stuff. Like, you're too smart to be acting like a dummy 80% of the time. Stop. And this is an advice coming from somebody you called a third grader. Even I know better. Why am I messing up my bag? Why am I messing up my reputation? I mean, you've got a great career post-NBA coming up in the media, but you might get there a little sooner than you think you will, because you're getting shipped. It's either that or China right now, because you're acting up way too much. Way too much. And the people that defend you and that say all this stuff about you, like, oh, it's Draymond Green, y'all want to be champions. I don't want to hear that. I don't want to hear none of that. Stop coddling him. Because any other NBA player is not getting this. Everybody, they're going to be on his head. Oh, he did this. Oh, he didn't come to practice on time. No, we talk about, look at the way we talk about Kyrie Irving when he makes mistakes versus when we talk about Draymond Green when he makes mistakes. Think about it. Kyrie gets ridiculed. They call him an idiot. They call him all types of names. They say they cut him from deals. They get rid of his shoes. I mean, look at the punishment. They make him apologize, do little checklists like he's a little kid. But here's Draymond. Draymond walking around like Pac. Like he got a million ammo and 60 different guns in his pocket. That's how scared you are. In fact, I think Steve Kerr is scared of all of his players, because come on. Like, even Jordan Poole, like, I mean, coach these players. Be better. Like, there's no reason for Jordan Poole to close any quarters anymore. He has proven that he's not trustworthy to end quarters. But you know, Steve Kerr, he doesn't want to upset nobody. He wants this whole All Lives Matter office to keep going. He wants people to get their rhythm. He don't want to tell me. He's going to just keep enabling these bad behaviors, these bad shot making. Their obsession with taking threes. I used to love when Steph's game used to be more on like 60% threes, 40% inside the paint, because you're taking a big part of his game away from him that he is so elite at, so great at. And you're disservicing yourself as a coach because you're too comfortable allowing them to do whatever they want. So they're running circles on you. Nobody, none of these players in Golden State are even coached, to be honest. So the question that comes in with Steve Kerr is, what does he even do? Put it under the meme. What does Steve Kerr even do? What's his purpose there? Is he there just to manage egos? Is he just there as a placement? What is he there for? And his comments at post-game after players do stuff like this, it just irritates me because I know he probably says the same thing in the huddles and probably says the same thing on the bench. If my team got out-rebounded by that, I'm not coming to the podium saying, you know, Yeah, you know, we gotta do better rebounding. That's not the idea I'm gonna do. I'm gonna go, they suck, they stink. Little Butterfingers need gorilla glue on their hands because they can't stop turning the damn ball over. I'm getting on them because what the heck? Like, what is this little soft care little conversation I'm having? This is a dynasty, it's not a rookie. They're acting like they're the Kings. Because if you ask me which team looks more experienced in the playoffs right now, it's the Kings. And that shouldn't be where they're beating you. They're not beating you everywhere else. They're beating you and being smarter. And that should have been your biggest advantage. And that is Mike Brown's coach's circles. Circles on you, Steve Kerr. So fight back. Please fight back. Steph, fight back. Clay, fight back. I need to see the Chase Center Merchants at their best game of the season in game 3. I'm not going to be satisfied if we win by 5. I need to win by 10 plus points with Draymond or without Draymond. I know he's not there. Play inspiring basketball. Play like a dynasty. And with that win in game 2, game 3, I mean, with a win in game 3 and game 4, I think we could very much possibly steal game 5. I think we could do 3-0. And people saying, oh, no, that's not possible. Think about it. We just won 3 in a row to win the NBA Finals. We won a championship win 3 in a row. We know what it looks like when teams are inspired. And I know Andrew Wiggins will get better because it's not that he's playing bad. It's just that he's not in game shape. And I take this back into why he didn't play him in the Portland and Sacramento game because he's not in game shape. He gets tired after halftime, and that's not his fault. You know, you haven't played professional basketball in over a month or two. It's not his fault. And as the more he plays, the more he'll be game shape and the more effective he'll be in the series. But we got to first make the series long. And game 3 is a must win. You don't go down 3-0. They were all smiles after going down 0-2, talking about we've never been there before. This should be fun. Okay. Show me the fun because I'm not having fun. I'm not having fun at all. I don't think any Golden State Warrior fan is having fun. Show us what you got. And I want to see. I want to see where this dynasty is built for, what the championship DNA is, where's the gold blood at. Show Stripe. And Sacramento has been very physical in this series. So like I said, fight back. Fight back. Show them your dynasty and let them know they're the kids. And this is not, and put them where the child's play is supposed to be because this is where the grown-ups are. That's what I need to see in game 3. Send them to the playroom. Because the grown folks are going to handle business in game 3 and game 4. And I'll be back in this pot before game 5. The series better be 2-2. Because this is going to be a different type of podcast if it's not. And with that, I'm signing out. Thank you for joining me in this In the Database episode 9 with Nana. Thank you so much. Have a nice day.